The significance of Caesarea Philippi as a physical place was never really impressed upon me until I was blessed to take all of our seminarians to the Holy Land in 2011. And as part of that pilgrimage, we went up to Caesarea Philippi. It's in the extreme north of Israel, almost on the border with Lebanon. And even 2,000 years after Jesus lived, it's still a pretty wild place. Where we visited is now a national park. When Jesus lived, it was a place of many caves and of many temples. It was almost a smorgasbord of spiritualities, with altars to all sorts of gods, all sorts of idols fashioned out of wood and stone. People saw it as a holy place where they went to worship essentially the god of their choice. And it was there, amidst all of these proposed spiritual solutions, it was there amidst all of these religions vying for acceptance, that Jesus posed the fundamental question to his disciples that we hear in this morning's gospel. First, who do the people say that I am? Second, who do you say that I am? And so Jesus proposes that question and fully expects an answer. And it's Simon Peter who gives the truth. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Other people think this or that, but Peter came to the conviction that in this person that he had come to know, this itinerant rabbi, this man who was born in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth, the fullness of God, the invisible, all-powerful, transcendent God, had become fully a human person and had taken flesh, and that he had come to know him. And that he had come to know the truth of Jesus' identity. That is an amazing conclusion to come to. Because none of the prophets of the Old Testament, for all of their desire that God rend the curtain, that God show himself, that in essence God come down here and be with us, not Isaiah, not Zephaniah, not Amos, not Jeremiah would have ever dared to dream that God would become a human person, just like you and me, and enter into our flesh and enter into human history. And so that question, who do you say that I am, is the most fundamental question that we must answer on our human spiritual path. Because the answer to that question changes everything for us. We got up this morning and came to this Mass because we are convicted that Simon Peter was right, that Jesus Christ is who he said that he was, the Son of God, the Son of the Father, the Word made flesh, our Redeemer and our Savior, and also our brother, for he comes as one of us in human likeness to redeem us from inside our own humanity. In many ways, the world today is in a profound spiritual crisis, especially in the West, because we have essentially forgotten who Jesus is. Many people still may pay lip service to the idea that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. But what does that actually mean for us on a daily basis? What does it mean that we can come to this Eucharist and hear his teaching and apply it to our lives? What does it mean that in a few moments we will come forward and receive his body and blood into our body and blood? What does it mean to say that we have become adopted daughters and sons of the Father because of everything that Jesus did for us? The meaning of those realities is so profound that we echo the words of St. Paul as he comes to the conclusion of his letter to the Romans this morning. How deep and inscrutable are the ways of God? How unsearchable his judgments? Who can know his mind? And so Jesus is both the revelation of God but also the mystery of God. Just as we are the children of God, and yet in so many ways we remain a mystery to ourselves. But when we dare to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? And we answer it as Peter answered it in faith, by that statement we also come to know who we are. Because at the core of our being, we are children of the Father, deeply loved by Jesus. Everything else about us matters far less than that fundamental statement. And when we live this life in that conviction, when we live our life with Jesus at the center, when we allow Him to take hold of our minds, our thoughts, our beliefs, our values, when we spend time with Him in prayer, and when we act out of our belief in His gospel, the life is completely transformed for us. And we become disciples of Him. And we live in this world as an extension of His mercy and His truth and His life. And that's the greatest way to evangelize. So that people around us who are searching or who are lost or who are hurting can see in us this integrity of faith, this joyfulness of purpose, this conviction that through Peter the church has received the full authority of Jesus Christ. And so the church is the voice of Jesus for us, and we gladly live as her daughters and sons, faithful to the word of Christ, sharing in the sacraments, living joyfully our Catholic faith. The world needs nothing more today than joyful witnesses of the gospel. Women and men, young people and older people, children, who each in their own way have grappled with the question that we hear in the gospel this morning, who do you say that I am? In many ways, our contemporary culture of the moment is not unlike Caesarea Philippi, because there's all these meaning structures. And there's secularism, which is almost like the anti-meaning structure, asking us for allegiance and obedience. And in light of all those conflicting voices and truth claims and things seeking our attention, we listen to that one urgent, gentle, quiet voice that both says, who do you say that I am? But also says, come follow me. We come here this morning then to renew our faith in Jesus Christ as the very center of our life. And we commit ourselves this day, this week, this month, this year, this life, to live with Christ radically at the center, being ever more profoundly drawn to Him as filings are to a magnet, because He is the magnetic center of the universe. His heart beats in our hearts. His breath flows in our breath. His incarnation is extended in us because of the power of grace. For all that, we give thanks and praise this morning.